I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Remember when you were in grade school and the photographer came to take class pictures? Everybody tried to look their best. Well, most everybody. There was always some clown in the class who would make some weird face just to get attention. Most of us hoped for a good picture so we could get some copies to give to our family or friends. Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm delighted to have you join me today. As we continue our study in the book of James, we've come to the final verses of the first chapter. Our text for today doesn't talk about cameras or photographs, but it does talk about mirrors, and there are some similarities. So I hope you'll stay tuned for our study, Mirror, Mirror of the Word.
Searching the Scriptures, the blessed Scriptures, seeking the Savior day by day, striving to learn the wondrous story. What does the blessed Bible say?
Join in choir
by the King Commander.
Ask of the Lord
for me and thee.
Knock at the
open door of mercy,
where there is
pardon full and free. Searching the Scriptures, the blessed Scriptures, seeking to know the heavenly way, trying to reach the golden city. What does the blessed Bible say?
Join in choir,
the King commanded.
Ask of the Lord
for me and thee.
Knock at the
open door of mercy,
where there is
pardon full and free. Searching the Scriptures, the blessed Scriptures, seeking the wonder by the way, trying to point us soul to Jesus. What does the blessed Bible say?
Go and inquire,
the King commandeth.
Ask of the Lord
for me and thee.
Knock at the open
door of mercy,
where there is
pardon full and free.
Thank you, men. If you're tuning in for the first time, the program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Thousands tune in to our programs each week to receive spiritual nourishment and blessing. Like this listener from the country of Morocco, who sent this message in response to our Arabic language broadcasts. He writes, I've noticed that the words in each episode shine into my darkest days, and the words are heavenly. That's why I'm sending you this message, first to say thank you, and then to ask, how can I follow Jesus and gain His love and peace? I'm a Muslim. Would He accept me? Would He heal my heart, like you say, with His hope and love? Please help me to know more. What a joy to respond to this man and reassure him. Yes, God is ready and waiting to heal your heart with His love. And then to teach him from the Holy Scripture what it means to become a follower of Jesus. There is no greater privilege than to share this amazing good news. Now, let's return to our study in the book of James. Once upon a time in midwinter, When snowflakes were falling like feathers from heaven, a beautiful queen sat sewing at her window. The window had a frame of black ebony wood. And as she sewed, she looked out at the snow and accidentally pricked her finger with her needle. 3 drops of blood fell into the snow. The red on the white looked so beautiful that she thought, "If only I had a child, as white as snow, as red as blood, and as black as this frame." Not long afterward, she had a daughter that was white as snow, as red as blood, and as black as ebony wood, and they called her Snow White. Now the queen was the most beautiful woman in all the land, and she was very proud of her beauty. She had a mirror which she stood in front of every morning and asked the question, "Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And the mirror always said, "You, my queen, are fairest of all." And then she knew for certain that no one in the world was more beautiful than she. Now, Snow White grew up, and when she was 7 years old, she was so beautiful that she surpassed even the queen herself. So now, when the queen asked her mirror, "Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who is the fairest of all?" the mirror said, "You, my queen, are fair, it's true, but Snow White is still 1,000 times fairer than you." Now, when the queen heard the mirror say this, she became pale with rage and envy, and from that hour on, she hated Snow White. Whenever she looked at her, she thought that Snow White was to blame, that she, the queen, was no longer the most beautiful woman in the world. And that turned her heart around. Her jealousy gave her no peace. Her obsession with herself eventually brought her to her own destruction. I'm confident that you'll agree with me that a mirror is a valuable item if it's used properly. It helps us to see ourselves as we really are, at least on the outside. It shows us what other people see when they look at us. It helps us keep our personal grooming and hygiene in order. In our text from James chapter 1 and verses 22 to 27, God's word is compared to a mirror. James points out the possible responses by those who look at themselves in the mirror of God's word. So for this reason, I've titled our teaching for today, Mirror, Mirror of the Word. Now listen carefully as I read our text, James chapter 1 and verses 22 to 27. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." This text reveals 2 responses that you and I can have as we look into the mirror of God's Word. The first response I've called apathetic self-deception. You've probably been in a store or in someone's home and you happened to walk by a mirror. You didn't stop to inspect your appearance, you just caught a glimpse as you walked by. And you thought things were pretty well in order as far as your physical appearance goes. But later, when you took time to get in front of a mirror and look carefully, you saw some things that definitely needed attention, and you were embarrassed that you missed them the first time. But now, let's suppose after taking that longer look and seeing that your face needs to be washed or your hair needs to be combed, you walk away, say, "Eh, I'm okay. I don't have time to worry about that." Most of us wouldn't respond that way because our appearance is very important to us. James reminds us that we shouldn't be like those who hear the words with their ears but have no intention of letting the word change their lifestyle. Now, why is this so serious? It's serious because of the effect it has on our faith and practice. James states clearly that those who hear God's word and don't apply it will be deceived. That is, they will be led astray. In John chapter 5, Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders of his day, and he said, "And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life." That's a stinging indictment. What was Jesus actually saying? You have searched the scriptures, but when you don't like what they teach, you have felt free to ignore them or to come up with your own interpretation. My, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that where many are in the church today? I met some families some time ago who were looking for a church. They knew the importance of belonging to a local congregation, and they weren't looking for a perfect church, just one that would teach and practice the Word of God. But one comment I heard repeatedly was this: "We really appreciate the pastor. He preaches the truth. But his teaching doesn't make a notable difference in the lives of the members, and no one holds them accountable." This is the thing that James is talking about: hearing the word with no intention of changing our lifestyle. And he says this leads to self-deception. The common practice of many professing Christ followers today is to pick and choose the parts of the Bible they feel are relevant for them. And no denomination that I know of is entirely immune to this. If a particular teaching of Scripture doesn't fit their lifestyle, or if it makes them feel guilty about what they're doing, what do they say? "Oh, that was for back then. It was just a cultural thing. Really, our world is so much different today. It doesn't apply to us." Is that true? In the Western world, millions of people who identify themselves as born-again Christians readily say things like this: "There's no such thing as absolute truth." Or here's another one: "Right and wrong are determined by the situation you're in, not by any moral absolute." Those statements reveal that being a hearer and not a doer leads to apathetic self-deception. Here's what Jesus had to say about this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" When I was a boy, I remember my dad would occasionally say, "Talk is cheap." In other words, it's what you do that counts, not so much what you say. Because anyone can talk, but actions are convincing. Jesus said, "Many will say to me in that day." And Paul spoke about such people as having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he said we should turn away from people like that. Because you see, an appearance of devotion or piety isn't enough. If you and I look into the mirror of God's word, and we walk away without making necessary changes, we'll be deceived into thinking we're okay. James says that kind of religion is worthless. The second response we can have as we look into the mirror of God's word is what I've called energetic self-examination. The contrast is introduced in verse 25 with the word "but." One person looks into the mirror of God's word, he turns, and he walks away without making any changes. The other person also looks into the mirror of God's word, and he sees a need for change in his life. Now remember, the overall theme of our study in the book of James is faith that works. And a working faith calls for a thoughtful, obedient response to what we read in God's Word. In the mirror of God's Word, we see where changes are needed, and we cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He works in us. The apathetic or carnal Christian sees himself as the one who sets the standard for his behavior and practice. He sees God's commands as burdensome and unnecessary. On the other hand, the energetic, spiritual Christian understands that God's commands are the pathway to genuine freedom. Jesus said, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him." Isn't that what a genuine Christ follower really wants? To know Jesus more fully? Now, the idea contained in the word look, as it's used here in verse 25, is to bend beside or to lean over, to peer within. You know, it's not just a casual look. We would call it a penetrating look, a look that goes beyond the surface. It's a look based on the fact that not everything that can be seen is visible on the surface. And that's especially true of God's Word. It doesn't yield riches to those who simply skim the surface. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." And what is it that we're looking into? We're looking into the perfect law of liberty. You might ask, what's that? Well, it's the freedom Christ provided for us by fulfilling the law. In Christ, the law reached its goal. The law wasn't destroyed, it was fulfilled. And now in Christ, we no longer need to rely on outward controls or willpower to enforce moral behavior, because we've been changed on the inside. We're no longer controlled by our desires and our passions. We live above the law by the power of Christ. And Jesus illustrated this so well in the Sermon on the Mount. He would begin by saying, "You have heard," and he would give the letter of the law as the religious leaders applied it. But then he would say, "But I say unto you," and he would give the spirit of the law. It went to the heart issues, the motivations for our actions. It was early American Thomas Jefferson who said, "The price of freedom is eternal vigilance." And vigilance implies action. Vigilance scorns apathy. James reminds us that spiritual freedom isn't maintained without vigilance on our part. Verse 25 tells us that those who continue or who persevere in observing the law of liberty will receive the blessing of the Lord. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5 reinforce this concept. "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Now, in the final verse of this chapter, James makes a striking statement. Genuine, acceptable, God-honoring worship is the result of two things. What are those two things? He says, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Here again, if we just look on the surface, we miss the full weight of this statement. As I ponder these words, I hear again the words of Jesus, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." That's Matthew 22:37-40. Keeping ourselves from the pollution of the world is an evidence of following the first commandment, that we love God with all of our heart and soul and mind. Visiting the widows and orphans is evidence that you love your neighbor as yourself. So why was James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, moved to use these two groups of people as an illustration? It may very well be because these two groups of people are powerless to provide any kind of tangible reward to us when we serve them. They're not usually powerful. They're not in positions of authority. Those who genuinely serve them do so with a godly motivation to minister, and they're not thinking about personal reward. The final contrast, then, between the two responses to the mirror of God's word is the apathetic and the self-deceived are content to fit in with the world. They look into the word, and their response is similar to a word I've heard people use when they really don't care about something. They say, "Meh, whatever." The energetic, self-examining ones, while they remain in the world, will do what is necessary to keep from having the world remain in them. They reject the world's definition of success, and they find in Christ their model for living. His model is, "Whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant." What do you see when you look into the mirror of God's word? Do you see what it says and then turn and walk away, even as God's Spirit is speaking to you? If so, I would say you're on a dangerous path away from God. And at the final judgment, you risk hearing these fateful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." After all, the final standard of judgment will be God's word. But if you're among those who look into the word and seek diligently to know its author and its precepts, you will have a life overflowing with blessing. Will it be easy? Not necessarily. The easy way, Jesus said, leads to destruction. It will be difficult, but worth the struggle to hear those blessed words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." I leave you today with this edited version of "Mirror, Mirror on the Wall." Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Is it she who, fair of face, views herself, and then apace, quickly leaves the scene behind, out of sight and out of mind? Or is it he who looks therein, sees himself, and rues his sin? With solemn eye he views the scene, then obeys the word that makes him clean.
In Christ is brotherhood alone, from north to south and east to west. Good works for sin can ne'er atone. Christ is redemption, peace, and rest. In Christ alone we brothers are, one race, one nation of His word. One brotherhood is globular, sons of men, one in the Lord, His glorious kingdom built in peace. Love marks His brothers of His word, and brotherhood does brings through brotherhood. Christ I meant to redeem in love, and sanctify them through His blood. For endless brotherhood
my friend, what a blessing to look into the mirror of God's word together. If the Holy Spirit has shown you changes you need to make in your life, we'd be glad to pray for you. My experience is, if the Holy Spirit reveals needed changes in my life, and I don't tell anyone, it's very easy to push them out of my mind. And if I do that for a few days, soon the sense of urgency that I had is gone. I need that personal accountability, and I believe you do too. So let us hear from you today. Would you like a printed or audio copy of this teaching? If so, send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a copy of the teaching, Mirror, Mirror of the Word, either in print or on an audio CD. Or log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it fits in your schedule. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. Now, once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 and ask for the teaching, Mirror, Mirror of the Word. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We depend upon God's grace, your fervent prayers, and your generous financial support to help keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,
now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us.
To Him be glory in the church and glory in Christ's church and glory in Christ's church and the nation Christ in generations to the church and glory in Christ's church and Christ's church and generations to all generations to the glory in Christ's church and Christ's church.
Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us.
To Him be glory in the church and glory in Christ's church and glory in Christ's church.